Thanks for joining us again for another conversation about our lives of faith and ways that faith can be practical in our daily living. May God bless our time together. And today I'd like for you to think a little bit about all of the things that we are trying to do to save, to change, to preserve the planet Earth. Last summer, a brand new Superman movie hit the theaters. And it reminded me of all the Superman movies I've watched. And so many years ago, when every Saturday morning I watched Superman on TV. Of course, his mission, as we were reminded every week, was being more than just Clark Kent, a reporter for the Daily Planet. He was really Superman. And his real mission was to save the world from evil. What a noble cause that is. And how many wars have been fought to accomplish a similar purpose, and yet evil seems beyond control. You know, more prevalent today in our world is the call to be responsible in attempting to save the planet Earth, to seek an end to rampant pollution. We recycle waste. Talking about electric cars, wind turbines, all as part of an effort that assumes we can change the climate by what we do. And we can make the world as we feel it should be. Now, all of that is important stuff to do. No problem at all. And as people of faith, we certainly respond to God's love by our own love and care for all living things, everything that God has created, everything that He has filled with the breath of His life. And yet, do we really have it in our earthly power to control something as incredibly diverse and complicated as an entire planet, as an entire universe? It's kind of frustrating when we think about it that way. I mean, what is in our hands? And what is in God's? There's certainly things we should do and shouldn't do. But why do we assume we can control what might be beyond control? Think about all of our efforts, and they're well-intentioned, to control the weather, control the seasons, control life itself, decide whether a baby will be a boy or a girl, or what color hair it should have. I mean, that's what people are talking about now. Why do we try and control so much, but say, I can't do anything when it comes to selfishness that tears families apart? I can't do anything about the problems in my community where people don't have houses or food, where there are things around us that stunt the future of our children, We argue about which rights must be protected. But we ignore millions who die every year without simply knowing that they are loved by God. You know, for people of faith, there's so much we can do, but one of the most important things is a healthy concern for the stewardship, the care and keeping of all of creation. Not just the water, not just the trees, not just the air, but the lives. The lives of people God has created, even those whom we don't like. Let's start all over. We believe God has created everything that exists. Distant galaxies, the Milky Way, planet Earth, sun and moon, plants, animals, and especially people. And so all of creation is God's. And we also believe that God has asked us to care for what He created. That's what the commandments were about from Moses. That's what Jesus' teachings were all about. The stewardship, the caring for God's creation. Now, in response to God's love in creating such incredible gifts, how else can faithful people respond other than by taking care of what has been touched by God? And that should be the same whether it is the air we breathe, the water we drink, the plants we care for, or the lives we touch. We are to care for all of God's gifts. But what does that mean? And what role can we play? Well, here's just one little clue. One day Jesus gathered a crowd of people around and he said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, in his day, salt was so important for the changes that it caused in whatever it touched. Salt was used to preserve meat before there was refrigeration, so that meat wouldn't be spoiled and would last. Salt also seasoned and changed the taste of whatever it touched. So thinking about that preservation and that seasoning that salt is, how does being the salt of the earth fit in with God's call for all creation? Well, maybe a familiar story that you've all heard will help. One day there was a hungry stranger who wandered into a village. He went door to door asking if he could buy some food. Nobody would help him. They all said, We only have enough for ourselves. Maybe our neighbor will help. He finally went through the whole village, and no one had given him anything. So he sat by the edge of town, and he cried out, "Why will no one help me with food? When I look and see all of these wonderful rocks that you have out here by the edge of town, I'm going to make stone soup to feed all of you." They watched him as he heated water in his bowl and started throwing a few rocks in. They were kind of confused, and then one woman said, "You know, I'll run home, and I've got some carrots that might help." Another brought potatoes, others onions, and all sorts of goodies, and in the end, everyone enjoyed a wonderful meal of stone soup. Well, that story, it wasn't a religious story. Or was it? Because it gets to the heart of what Jesus one day wanted his audience to think about as he told them they were the salt of the earth. Each of us has gifts that can be used to change the world around us. And it doesn't just mean carrots and onions. We all have gifts. We all have opportunities. See, we can't create anything. God does that. God creates. God places things in our hands, in our lives. It is we who can season and care for what he has shared. And with his help, bland lives can be enriched, empty lives can be filled with the taste of God's love. We're all different. Our gifts are all different. Our interests, our opportunities. Now, only God can save the planet. Only God can rescue people from sin and death. But he blesses us with his gifts, our breathing, our seeing, our singing, our embracing, our teaching. He gives us the gifts to season and care for so much more than we selfishly are willing to embrace. You know, maybe if we were less political and more faithful, we would understand that we all have the same purpose, the same desire, and that the care of lives and life around us is not about fear or guilt or domination or political movements or everyone having to have the same gifts. But it's simply an opportunity of faithful people to give God glory by caring for what he has created and blessed us with in the gift that we call life on earth. You know, on that same day, and in fact, the very next sentence, after Jesus said, "You are salt of the earth," he told the people that had gathered around him, "You are the light of the world." What did he mean? We are called to be people of faith. We're gathered around God. Not because we are so special, but to be special. We are gathered not because we deserve it, but because God has created our lives, and now he sends us out to reflect the love that has changed us, in how we touch every life and moment of creation we come in contact with. Salt and light. That is how we change the world, one life at a time. You know, this is not about trying to control or change what we don't have the power to change, but it's to reflect the presence and grace of God in us, the God who alone has created galaxies and flowing rivers, the God alone who has created rain clouds and fields of wheat, the loving God that can offset the power of sin and even death. As salt and light, He calls us to help touch the world around us with the same touch that has changed us. Think about how Jesus saved the world in such a lavish, sacrificial way. Instead of holding back, Jesus poured out His life. He surrendered His power. He forced every ounce of love out of His body, out of His life, to the point of death, so that we would be blessed with everything God is. The miracle of Easter was like that finished pot of stone soup. A miracle. And now He asks us to help. Again, through the miracle of using every gift at His disposal, Jesus flavored the lives He touched as He washed feet, healed lepers, fed the hungry, gathered the lost. He lit up a dark planet with the light of His birth and the glow of His resurrection. We are never alone, and His power fills our gifts. What irony that Jesus' loss, everything He gave up, is our gain. And in our mirror-like surrender, we not only show God's glory, but multiply His gifts, all of us, with those around us. Failure to take advantage of our gifts and opportunity is no different than rejecting everything God has done for us. Just as salt that never leaves a cupboard is wasted, so the gifts we have been given, if kept in the dark, will never reach the potential for which they are created. Faith means no worry, no fear. Well, that's the flavor now of our new life. Faith means sacrifice and surrender, not so that we change the world, but to announce to the world that God changes me. And that same change can touch everyone else. I mean, that's why we do things like collect food for the hungry and warm clothing for poor families. It's why we recycle what we can and don't waste what might be useful for someone else. It's why we use campus ministry or maybe a radio program to share Jesus' love outside of a congregation's walls. It's so easy to season and shine or understand how a little love, flavored by a touch of faith, goes such a long way. And in such a response, the glory of God is not wasted. and changes the world, not by what we do, but what God does in us in ways greater than any of us could have planned. One day, an old man was walking along a beach littered with thousands of starfish that had washed up during high tide. As he walked, he came upon a young boy who was going along throwing starfish back in the ocean one by one. The old man was puzzled. He asked the little boy, "What are you doing?" Without looking up, the boy said, "I'm saving these starfish." The old man chuckled. He said, "Son, there are thousands of starfish and only one of you. What difference can you make?" The little boy picked up another starfish, gently tossed it into the water. He looked up at the man and said, "I made a difference to that one." Faith isn't something we create. It's our powerful gift from God. We can't waste it unless we don't use it. And if we use it, God's power changes me and everyone I touch. How will you love? Where will you shine? I knew a young mother who dealt with her dying by insisting that her husband and children go with her to counseling before she died. She understood salt and seasoned their lives with love. She understood light, and she sat with her children and turned on a tape recorder and went through their little albums of baby pictures and told them the story. And then she talked to her husband about their future. Because of that faithful love, that young mother's children are now grown adults who now season their children's lives with incredible support and love and faith. She didn't know how that might happen. All she was caring about was her children. But because of her loving faith, her children now have something to share with their children and eventually their grandchildren. Well, many of you have similar experiences, similar role models in your lives. Just don't forget to do the same for those around you, whether family, friends, or strangers, that has been done for you. This isn't so we can save the planet. It's because God has saved the world. Salt and light. I mean, sometimes Jesus' words seem so simple and maybe so easy to misunderstand. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That wasn't just a pipe dream. It was a promise. He was sharing a gift. He was saying, "Here is what you now will be, because you have felt my love." God alone saves the world. But what a surprise. What a gift. What a blessing that He invites us to be the seasoning and light that gives a taste of that change and an example to others of what the glory of God truly is. Jesus does the saving. We only need to serve.